Garda Sergeant Paul Wallace is joining us very shortly to discuss cyber crime, and also obviously it's the bank holiday weekend, so there's a road safety message there. Lots of other issues we'll be talking with Sergeant Wallace. 086 77 00 555 if you've a call you wish to a question you wish to put through to Paul, or you can call us on 074 91 25000. Just before a break, a caller says another man had to wait 3 hours for an ambulance to come from Dunloe. He lives in Inishowen. Doesn't make sense, does it, an awful lot of the time. In relation to tattoos, this lady says, I'm over 50 and I want a tattoo and I'm getting one. We'll get back. Tell us where you're getting it and what it is. And just in relation to the Gaza conversation, I disagree with the panellist. I think the reason America takes such a big interest in Israel is that within a lifetime ago, the Jews were nearly wiped out in the Holocaust. And we forgot, and here in Europe, I totally object to the killing by both sides, but all Israelis' neighbours would wipe it out of existence again, given the chance. That comes in from Michael there. Another caller says, very impressed with Claudia Kennedy. Has she ever considered going independent, as I would have considered voting for her if she didn't come with a toxic label attached? That comes in from Pat, and that toxic label he talks of, I imagine, being Fianna Fáil. Now, Garda Sergeant Paul Wallace is our crime prevention officer, not specifically this programme, but for the whole county. And it's great to have you back in again for this semi-regular slot, Paul. We talked the last time, we had a great reaction to, I understand you had some positive feedback too on that, which is good. We're going to be talking about cybercrime because, you know, the emails that are coming through now from these, I don't know what you would call them, but these people who are trying to defraud you are so impressive and so realistic and so broad ranging. We'll get to that. But it's the bank holiday weekend. You know, people probably think it's a tired message, those that take care out in the roads and those that are safe and those that don't drive after a night out drinking. But there is a proportion of us out there, too, that message doesn't seem to still get through. And that's really why we have to keep talking about this, Paul, isn't it?
Yes, Greg, good morning and thanks for the opportunity again. It is the message, I suppose, that we hear every bank holiday weekend and long weekend, but we are heading into the traditional holiday period in Ireland of the month of August. We have a bank holiday weekend and we just ask people just to give themselves a bit of time, slow down and be that wee bit considerate. You know, keep off the phone, don't be texting when you're driving, wear the seatbelt. And I suppose one of the most important ones, and people don't think on this, children, make sure they're belted in and in the child's seats. You know, this practice of mothers and fathers with babies sitting on their knees. We were shown a video one time produced by Volvo from a safety point of view. And if you're involved in a head-on collision, there is no way that you will hold that child on your lap because all the weight of a baby or a small toddler is in their head and they just take off like a rocket. So, you know, there's plenty. Most cars now have good restraint systems and that. Use them. Keep the speed down. We had, I just looked overnight there, we had one accident dealt with in the Carrigart area, you know, involving a single vehicle, young driver. But, you know, these things can make headlines in the morning, thankfully, in this case. But even with the warnings, it still happens. So young people, try and slow down. Try and drive responsibly and, you know, use the road with care and respect.
I know it's not only young people, but the stats tell us that it is a certain age group, and often it is Friday night, but the bank holiday skews that a little bit. You know, if you don't think necessarily about yourself, or you do think you're bulletproof to some extent, you have to think about that knock at the door that's made maybe 5-6 in the morning by a Garda, or you may not make the headlines as you talk of, but you could be
critically ill,
you know,
critically injured,
you could end up with if you hit your head, your personality can change, you could end up with moods, you know.
It's very true, we always hear about the big story,
the ultimate,
the fatality,
that
sort of thing, but you know, you'll hear that so many are injured, but what level of injury? And I think any parent, when you go to bed at night and they're out and about, and I suppose it's the summertime and school holidays and all that, it is the thing that everyone dreads, the ring of the phone, the knock on the door. If you get the knock on the door, it's very serious.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're out there, you know, life is fragile. We don't want to be killjoys. People have to enjoy themselves, but there are a lot of people out and about. And I noticed even this morning, a lot of bicycles. I think the Donegal Youth Tour, the cycling
That's
team,
right,
are doing
yep.
something this weekend. I was trying to find out some detail on, but I know over in West Donegal, in my own area, they have the Martello Challenge on today in Mahary as part of the Mary from Donegal Festival, and it's there'll be a 20km cycle race, and I might even make it myself. But you know,
on just, a bike or. As a yeah. spectator?
No, on a bike. Okay. Two wheels, four wheels.
And also, too, while we're on that, there's 82 tractors leaving Malinhead this morning. It's on the Irish Tractor Run. They're raising funds for St. Luke's Hospital, and fair play to them. Yeah. But it's 82 tractors out the road, and that's
well,
what they
have to
be.
Well, it's just a matter of giving yourself that bit of time and giving the cyclists that bit of room. You know, everyone sometimes is focused on where they're going, and maybe including the cyclists and what they're doing. And I know down in Dunluce there's a festival on down there as well. So bank holiday, August bank holiday weekend, you have the Mary from Dunluce, you have different festivals in different villages and towns. It brings higher volumes of traffic.
And you talked about that youth race. James Hawkins, the race director, I'm going to be speaking to him before 12.
I just seen bicycles heading out there.
We'll get that information out as it relates to road closures.
I'm not sure of the specific areas, but just look
now,
just keep it cool, as the man says.
Last time, Paul, and I'm very conscious of the fact that not everyone listens to Highland, or the message you know, doesn't get through to everyone, but we talked about leaving items in your car and the risk of your car being broken into and all the ramifications of that, losing your items, the damage to the vehicle. Since I last spoke to you, we have had cases of this.
We've had cases, certainly, and we did a bit of a focus on it during the week with AXA Insurance locally, and Divers Hyundai. We had just an awareness, that's all we're doing, and we got good coverage in the local media, and I heard your last guest, councillor.
She tried to be.
I wasn't too sure. I knew there was an issue about posters, but she's a teacher. Yeah, Claudia Kennedy. She covered it well, and she spoke about the handbag and covered it from a female's point of view. We have it. It's one of them crime spikes that we have, and I raised this a fortnight ago. We're up 33%, a third, in relation to this time last year. And I just looked before I came in, and thankfully I was on time today, Greg. You'll be happy.
Well, we didn't say you weren't last week, so you've just landed yourself in it.
You got the day and the date wrong, so, you know.
Yeah, well, we're square on that.
Where's
one?
A few minutes? But it's Saturday, and we're here, and we're looking at this time last year, we're up a third, 33%. Yeah. And the main areas, again, the scenic districts, as we would call it, Buncrana, Milford, and Letterkenny, and you have people going out into the scenic areas, and then Letterkenny, you have a lot of people coming shopping and stuff and leaving things in their cars. Statistics are, it can be, you know, you have to think about it, but basically we have 100 reported versus 75 last year.
That's so far this year or in the summer?
Yeah, but no, year to date, right, so okay. far this year, that's the way we do
so
it.
So that's 100 vehicles that have
been broken into or
that's
damaged.
A lot
or whatever.
Of cars.
And I just looked, even since we did the awareness on Thursday, there was a car broken into down at the Greenan Avella. You know, which is one of the scenic spots, which ties in again, a rental Kangoo, ladies' handbag taken, all the bits and pieces that ladies have in their handbags, and all the anguish and annoyance that goes with that, as well as an insurance claim. We would be interested if anybody did see a blue Ford Fiesta. Now, I don't know whether it's a modern one or an old one, but it was said foreign type registration numbers, plates, and two guys in it, a bit like yourself. A bit light on top. that's the only description we have. If anybody's seen a car going around like that, I have no better description. I don't know. Just a blue.
So
Fiesta,
a blue Ford Fiesta. It's a vehicle
seen.
Of interest, and it was in what area?
In the Green and Avila. You know, Thursday. It was reported yesterday at 2:00.
And the reason a vehicle like that is important is because, you know, I imagine it's not often that these guys. And I use that in a generic sense, as guys and girls, that they'll do this once. I mean, keep an eye out in this car, because they could be serial offenders.
Well,
I'm not suggesting they are, but that's why it's important.
We're just saying it's a car of interest to us. And if we've seen this car, or if somebody seen a blue Fiesta going around car parks or whatever, we would like to know who's in this car, or have a better description, or ideally the number plate. We don't have it, them details. But, like, these people, people think it's a simple crime. I suppose it is one of the softer, low level, but it increases statistics, and that's where we have to look at it from that point of view. But also, it's very preventable. Mm-hmm. And the amount of people that, and we spoke about this the last day, that leave their cars unlocked outside their houses, running into the shop, this sort of thing. If someone gets a key to your car, they have it, and then you have a problem with your explaining that to your insurance, mm-hmm. because most cars now of the modern era have the chip in them and all of that, and if they haven't the key, they can't get access to the car. But then the breakage point of view as well, the whole trauma of the loss, insurance claim, the whole hassle of it, and it is preventable if people would just take the precautions and maybe just have a look at the car and say, do I need all this stuff? Mm. You know, the way we're habitual, we carry stuff out and we leave it in the car and it's left and it's lying around, binoculars, cameras, all of that, phones, you know, and maybe there's a way that you can put them out of view or whatever.
And, you know, you talked about a lady's handbag, or it could be anyone's handbag. But, you know, well, I was going to say man bag, but I don't have one. These guys, you know, they take the handbag out of the car.
Yeah.
They put the hand in it. And if there's a phone, they take that. If there's a purse, they take the money out of that. And the stuff that people have most value on, like a picture of a granny or granddad, yeah, like I said to Claudia, area. Or a
good
could
point.
Be a religious, they yeah. grab that and they throw it straight over a ditch, and they do not care.
It's of no use to them. All yeah. they're looking for is keys,
and it's lost
cash.
To you. Exactly,
keys,
yeah.
cash, something of value, that's it. Mm. Everything else, that even the inconvenience of having to get a replacement driving license yeah. and that sort of thing. But we have these people, and we know this, that go and target cars. They target them in two ways. It's not chance or anything. They look at, we're coming up to the graveyard time of year where people have the ceremonies. People are home from holidays. I know some of them have started, but there's a lot of them going forward into the month of August. You know, where cars are parked, these guys will come along, and we call them guys. We don't know what mm-hmm, gender they are. Mm-hmm. And they'll try the door, systematically try door handles. That's mm-hmm. the first thing they'll do. Walking
up so
along.
Easy.
And they just walk along, and they're professionals at their game. And then if they get the car with the window down, which we've all seen, I was in the RDS one day at a classic car show, and we got out, and I looked as I was walking back from my own car to the show, I saw three cars with the windows down, and one actually had a chain around the steering wheel. You know, and so obviously in a panic, got out, locked yeah. the car, left the window down. Now some cars have an automatic closing and all that sort of thing, but then they have the fill out, and they have a thing, it's like a slingshot. It's like a ball bearing on a bit of string, and sort of on the principle of a catapult. Mm-hmm. And they let it go, and it literally hits the glass so fast, there's hardly any sound. Mm-hmm. It's like a bullet. Mm. And they're in, stuff's grabbed, gone. You know,
shocking.
So just think about it.
Yeah. And before we go on to cybercrime, don't tell people you're going on holidays on Facebook, please. You know, there's
I'm going to Lanzarote, you know, and a big photo of you know, in Lanzarote, and you know
people are on Facebook, and yeah. anyone can be your friend, and they're going, the whole family, we're all heading off
yeah.
and they have if you go into where they live, there's even yeah. a little dot right down onto the top of their house,
yeah.
and they're
where,
saying they're away where, for a week. It's shocking.
Yeah,
just
it's
in relation to cars, you know.
Yeah,
too.
And I put that on the Midsummer Crime Prevention Advice was a kind of a foot note to that other one in relation to the targeted one on the cars, basically just saying for people to check if you're going on holidays, get your neighbour to check and do the same for them, and not to forget older people too. We have these guys going around offering goods and services yeah. at exorbitant rates. All that still goes on. Just because it's the summer, just because the weather gets good, doesn't mean, you know, we have a saying, don't let the good weather cloud your judgment. You know, it's the same thing. Everyone gets focused in the dark evenings, but in the summertime, yeah. the criminal is out there as well.
Speaking about cars, I know a person, and it wasn't me, but they locked their car, their keys in the car, and they couldn't get access to it, and they decided they had to break a window. So they went right to the very back door, and that tiny little triangular window, they broke that one. Which is the most expensive piece of glass to replace because it's never broken. They would have been better off putting a breeze buck through the windscreen. But that's not a crime issue, but I just thought I'd throw that in.
Same thing happened myself one day. I was talking to somebody on the phone, mind 100 miles away, and I don't mind using myself as examples rather than using everyone else. Slammed down the boot, key in the boot, car locked. It was down in Cavan. I drove a Skoda, rang the local Skoda dealer. I says, if I break that window, was the one I was going to go for.
The tiny little
funny
one.
Enough.
Right, yeah.
He says, you can break every window in the car. He says, the car still won't open.
Oh, right.
And it was something I didn't know. And he said, the key, I said, what about getting a replacement key? He says, key will have to come from the factory.
And, oh, I don't know. I'd have broke the window, climbed in, pulled the back seat.
No. It was a simpler one. And it was just, I just thought, somebody says, have you not got a spare key at home? And I had, and I got it taken up on the bus.
Well, it's a long way from Cavan, but...
Yeah, but I had to stay overnight, but it just shows you. But I was going to... But the doors wouldn't open, so, you know, it's one of them things.
Now, on to cybercrime, Paul, because this is a huge one. I mean, you know, I'm not with Bank of Ireland, I'm not with AIB, and some of these come through, but one came through from Ulster Bank to me. Looked completely legit. Even the email, they're getting good at making the email look legitimate. Now, PayPal's another one that's going around at the moment. It looks... legit, you've been locked out of your account, sign in, blah, 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 blah. And also this one that's going around from Revenue, because, you know, it's free money. And they don't say, we've got €45 million available for you. They say, you know, you've overpaid tax by about €200 or €300 and pass on the information. These guys, and I'm not giving them any credit, but they're very good at this stuff, aren't they?
Well, they're professionals as well. And this is done. This is done. This is a worldwide crime. I was looking at a recent article there in the Irish Times, and it said that Irish cybercrime incidents have doubled since 2011, a study by PwC. And we would know that from the Garda side, but not everything gets reported to us as well. So you have to sometimes look outside the box and see what's going on everywhere else. The Revenue one was brought to our attention again by a man in the Glenfinnan area this week. And, you know, it's no harm. Sometimes then... I'm kind of caught in a box, do I ring into Sean Doherty or do I pass it out to the media outlets, you know, because we're doing it time and time again. And it's more than, as you said, the road safety one. You think it's an old message, but it's not. But I was listening to BBC Radio 2 there one day, and there was statistics published by the police in the UK, ACPRO, the governing body or the oversight body, and cybercrime has really gone through the roof in the UK, more so than what they call property-based crime, because you have a generation of young people that are very savvy using technology, and they see it's far easier for them to sit at home and do this crime. So it comes out, as you say, it looks like the genuine PayPal, it looks like the Revenue one, was the man was asked to text his details to this number. His bank details, his social number, the PPS number, and all of that, you know. And at least he knew that, and he actually rang Revenue, and they said, "No, we don't do business in that form."
So, what's the best advice in this regard? You will not be contacted by email by a lending institution, PayPal.
They won't, you know. I even have one there that came out from one of the banks there, and it's just something I held on to it. It just says, "We're writing you to make you aware of a warning for businesses. We will not contact you in this way. You know, we'll contact you by the established method, which is normally by letter." And, you know, it's always important then, it's no more than the person accepting the money order for a certain, to ring back to your, to the established number, and, you know, just do them checks. But in relation to the cybercrime, businesses are being targeted. In that study by the PwC, in the last period, €750,000 was a conservative figure that they were saying that businesses had been hit in various little different ways.
Drips and drabs.
And we know of it here in this county where people's identity have been used. Like, basically what they're looking for, it's a thing called phishing. It's P-H-I-S-I-N-G. It's phishing for personal info. So they're looking for Greg Hughes, your DOB, your address, anything that they can create your identity, set up a bogus account or whatever, and the world's their oyster then, sort of thing. We've had cases in this county where businesses, you know, where their VAT number has been used, where one business in Donegal, and not being more specific to that, to be fair to them, but their details were being used by criminals in London for buying and selling heavy machinery in the Middle East. You know, and the next thing then, it brings in a whole thing around VAT and revenue and all of that. And this guy didn't, only stumbled on it by chance. You know, we have the cases where people have done business, sold off, or did the transaction, card not present transactions, haven't followed the guidelines, sent off the product, no follow up. You know, so
in relation to
the
cards not present one, a lot of that's done from skimming your card on bank machines. I had one done myself, and it was about, I don't know, 400, for some reason it was phone credit that was being bought off, and maybe that's the easiest, you know, way of using it without the security digit. Is that as big a problem, or are we getting on top of that, cards being skimmed and that type of thing?
It's a constant battle.
Is it? Yeah.
It's a constant battle. It'd be foolish for me to sit here and say we're getting on top of it.
Right.
Because the latest one now is they'll fit the skimming devices to the ATMs. Mm. They'll gather the info, but they'll not use it for 3 months. And then you're hit. One of the last ones in Donegal, the info was all gathered in the month of October and November in various different locations. And again, it's important when people go to use the cash, the hole in the wall, that they just look around and see just before they do it, conscious of people sitting watching. You know, we have had cases of them sitting in cars with strong binoculars where they're actually able to, with the movement of your hand, to see what your numbers are.
And there's also cases, and I'm not going to mention any names, but whereby people were looking in through shop windows and watching people put the numbers into the card
keypad
in it. So looking straight outside, innocently appears, but they were looking in and able to, some people have eyesight like Superman.
Well, there's this other phenomenon called shoulder surfing. Mm. It's one of them tongue twisters nearly, where, you know, somebody innocently seems to be just around behind you and that, but they're pros at what they do. Mm. And you're there and maybe you have small kids or you have the handbag or whatever you have, and you know you want to get some cash and your attention, it's everything about diverting your attention.
And we don't want to be over sort of suspicious and fear everyone, but you do have to take note of that. If someone is shoulder surfing, they're too close to you, you're putting your pin, why are they there? Just ask yourself
just
these
stop
questions.
And say, I'm sorry, can you just, you know, give me a bit of room here to
right, we're down to the last 2 or 3 minutes. Paul, anything else you think we should be keeping an eye on over the next week or two before we get you back in?
No, just be safe out there. And I think it's just, I suppose I was looking for this bit of paper, but I just have it here about the cyber crime. And it's just basically a notification going out from one of the financial institutions, say that under no circumstances will anybody contact you and ask you your personal information across the phone.
And that's
as simple as that.
And just on the driving, look, no one's trying to ruin your fun. No one's trying to play Big Brother. We're trying to keep people alive and stop those knocks at the doors and stop those 3 or 4 months in
hospital. And in relation to the personal property, again, month of August, people are going to be out and about, going to the scenic areas, attending the graveyard ceremonies. Clear out the car. Don't be leaving the handbags on the seats, that sort of thing. Don't be feeding into crime. It's very preventable.
Garda Sergeant Paul Wallace, fantastic. Tell us that you are going to take part in this race now. You've committed to that, this bike race.
No, I'll just cycle after it.
Cycle.
I'm just going to.
It's not a motorbike, is it?
No, it's a push bike.
Okay.
That's my hobby.
I want to see a picture of this. I want this forwarded through so we can put this on Facebook.
Well,
I don't doubt for a second that
I was only giving them a little plug, but it's just, you know, be aware as well. But I love the cycling.
It's a great time over in the west of the county. The Mary from Dunlow Festival's ongoing and what have you.
There's a lot of people about, and it's great to see a bit of activity, and it's good from a commercial point of view as well. And thankfully, it has been very quiet. There's been no
public order,
nothing like that.
That's fantastic.
Associated, you know, when you get people in any area, you can have any sort of incident. So, just I think the weather's
quiet,
good for next week.
Exactly. And the quieter you guys are, the better we all are, I suppose. The Gardaí,
by
that. Sergeant Wallace, we'll speak to you again in a couple of weeks. Thanks so much for coming in. And a reminder for that blue Fiesta, too. I think that's an important one, and it'll mean a lot, too, to the people whose car
was stolen. It's old type or new type.
Yeah, but it's a car of interest, and even if it's a case of eliminating it, a number plate, or if you've seen it acting suspiciously.
People could be genuinely visiting the sites as well themselves, but it was just a car it's a car of interest to us because it was seen in that area at the time when the items went missing.
Garda Sergeant Paul Wallace, thank you so much. 07491 25000. Just in case you're not fully familiar with the area, we were talking about that blue Ford Fiesta. It's in the Bird General area where that was seen acting. It's a car of interest. Gardaí wants to speak, and it was following a car being targeted and items being broke out. So in case you're not familiar with the exact specific area we were talking of, it's the general Burt area. This caller says, I locked my keys in the car. I had a spare key at home. I was in Mayo, so I rang my husband. He clicked the central locking key while on the mobile to me from Donegal, and it opened the door. Really? Could it happen? I'm not doubting the lady's I'm not doubting it, but maybe it works on sound or radio waves. I don't know. Can you verify that? Has that happened to you? Or even if you're the lady involved, get in contact with us. Give us 2 minutes of your time to explain it, because that's a good one. 086 77 00 555 is the text line. Keep them coming in. It's so much appreciated, as I said. 07491 25000, or you can tweet me at Greg Hughes on Twitter. And also, Highland Radio Hub is the station Facebook page. You can interact with us there. Now, I don't want to neglect the requests. Killian Lynch in Strabane, happy 21st birthday to you, Killian, from Pauline and all the family. I'm in Strabane tomorrow. So hopefully there's a massive party there. I'll gate crash. No, I won't. I'm only joking. Anne and Jill or Neil Lynch, also in Strabane, happy anniversary from Pauline. I'm sorry about the second name. I just can't quite make it out there. I'm going to double check that so we don't ruin that request for you. For Hugh and Delilah Coyle in Strabane, happy wedding anniversary. Loads of you listening in Strabane. It's great to have you on board. Elizabeth McGlynn and Benny Nolan, wishing them all the best on their wedding day. From Michelle, Rory, Connor, Ellen, Aaron and Noah. Good job you're in the West. Hopefully you'll get a dry spell for the pictures and all that. You wouldn't want to be in the East having your wedding today. They're lashing it down and Dublin is in a panic. They're not used to weather. They should come here now and again. They'll probably see what it's like from time to time. For my mum, Diane Hetherington in Convoy, happy birthday to you, Diane. From Lydia, Charles and Grace, and all of us here at Weekend Edition as well. Christine Patton and Tommy McMenamin, they're getting married today. Best of luck to the pair of you. That comes in from the Leper family in Drumkeen. And for Lorna Sweeney and Seamus McGranahan, getting married today in Milford, from all of Seamus's friends in Fannad. And once again, so say all of us. It's hopefully you have a fantastic time. Now, there's been a few shocking stories in the on the radio and in the press of late. There was a story, if you were listening to the Sean Doherty show yesterday, of a Polish gentleman who put up a post on a website looking for work, and he was subjected to the most horrid racial abuse and go home and all that type of stuff. And then we hear reading today that there's 32 victims of racist attacks in just 3 months right across the country. Billy Bander, who was also actually coincidentally a candidate in the Letterkenny Milford area in the recent local elections, but also very active in the community, joins us on the programme. We're going to discuss about, you know, the new Irish, foreign nationals, how the integration is going, what can be done, what is being done, and also perhaps talking about those stories and trying to find out if that's widespread. If you've got a say on that, text the programme now, 086 77 00 555, or call us on 07491 25000. But we have to take a quick break, and after that break we're going to be talking about that youth cycle event that's taking place. Kicks off at 1, I believe, but we'll get more info after this break. An event that's been labelled by some as a miniature Tour de France. The race director, James Harkin, joins us on the programme now. James, thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule. So what is this event? Set it up for us.
This is, what's without doubt now, the biggest and most important youth cycle race in Ireland in the calendar year. This is our third year to host the race, and it has grown year on year since we started in 2012.
Now, it starts at 1 o'clock this afternoon. How many people are taking part? What is the route?
Well, there are four stages over the next 3 days. Today's stage, the under-16 race, starts at 1 o'clock. We're leaving Churchill Village, heading back towards Letterkenny, turning left down Temple Douglas, and then turning up what is now known in, with youth cycling, the famous Keelogue's Climb. The under-16s will do that loop 5 times. The under-14s will follow those, doing it 3 times, and then the under-12 race will follow that evening, doing the same loop once. That's tomorrow's, or that's to this evening's racing. Probably an hour and a half each stage. We have 99 riders in the under-16 race. We have 75 riders in the under-14 race, and we have 57 riders in the under-12 race.
I imagine a ton of organisation has to go into this. It probably started pretty soon after last year's event concluded.
There's just a year on year, and it rolls on from 1 year to the next year. There's really no break for us in it, and it's a good way to be. We're delighted to have it. We're delighted with the turnout. We're delighted with the number of entries, the quality of entries, and for Air Eagle Cycling Club, you know, it's really. Of our season.
From a local perspective, do we stand a chance? Who's a standout competitor for us, or even a few of them, maybe?
Well, we have quite a few. I suppose, really, the international one, the English and the Scotch riders, we don't know a lot about it. The younger age groups, so it's very hard to tell. Our own under-16s are probably all a bit hoping to be in the pack rather than to be winning the race. It'll be a great achievement for them to finish in the main bunches, considering we're only second a few years. They've been at it a lot longer than us. The under-14 race would have a lot of good competitors. Connor Halvey, Kira Dugan, PJ Dugan would be three of our top riders. Ronan McCann has improved immensely this year. Dylan Trainer, Michael McGlynn, Sean McFadden. There's so many in that under-14 race that'll be hoping to put up fairly good performances, but we've definitely three that'll be looking to win it. And the under-12 race, we had the top, Air Eagle Cycling Club at the top three in Ulster last weekend in the time trial and the road race. And those three is Donald Walsh from Dunlow and Oran Dugan from Fulcara, Cathal Gallagher from Glenswilly. They'll be there or thereabouts again.
And they have home advantage, and I suppose part of that home advantage is us getting out and supporting them. Are there many opportunities for spectators, or how does that work?
There's both a plenty of opportunities along the route, but really the tough part of the stage is Keelogues, and if it follows last year and the previous year's pattern, we'll have hundreds of spectators lining on the top of that stage to get the riders up over the hill for the last time and try and cheer them home.
Okay, it's a fantastic event. I suppose you want everyone to cooperate with stewards and for those driving out in the roads to take extra care and what have you. I know everything will be looked after in that regard, but we want it to pass off as a hugely successful event for everyone taking part and all those watching it.
Yeah, hopefully, Greg. Look, it's, like you say, there's huge numbers of riders, and rider safety is priority for us. We want to get those people home and, you know, home and safe, and want to come back to us next year. And we will have marshals at all the junctions and signposts. And what we're really asking is that the locals and the people using the roads would follow the marshals. We have a few minor detours in place. It's going to put 1 or 2 miles on the people's journeys, but we have to ask them, you know, if they don't mind to go with that, because really, like I say, rider safety is a priority.
Well, best of luck to all the local competitors and organisers like yourself. James Hawken, race director, thanks so much for joining us this morning. Now, I wanted to clarify that request for Anne and Neil Lynch. They're in Strabane. I got Neil's name mixed up there. They're celebrating their anniversary. That comes in from Pauline. Also have to say, or I don't have to, but I want to say, happy 10th wedding anniversary to Charles and Anne-Marie Farron. They're in Carndonagh, from Tony, Sinead, Kerry, Marie and Clodagh, Granierport, Glenowen. So, Grahiport, is it, Glenowen? I'm really going to have to start getting these typed out because the joined up writing's doing me no favours. Billy Banda joins me in the studio now. Billy Banda, who was featured on Highland a few times and before of that, of course, in the run up to the recent local elections. Billy, thanks so much for coming up and speaking to us on this Saturday.
Thank you very much, Greg, for inviting me.
Tell us a little bit about the work that you do, Billy. I mean, you do a lot of work, don't you, within the community, the New Irish, the foreign nationals and the community generally. I don't know what the correct terminology for that is, but there's a great deal of work done there, isn't there?
Oh yes. Basically what I try and do is try and get the people from a minority ethnics integrated within our society. As you know, it's most of them, you know, because of the language barrier probably, you know, they find it really difficult to integrate. So I will be one of the probably a signpost, if you can say, you know, on where to go and what to do and all that anyway. So, yeah, at the minute I'm working with the youth, with Donegal Youth Services, on a cross-border basis anyway, in terms of sport, or just our culture, heritage and all that, as well as trying to get the Brazilians integrated back into our society because of the recent troubles, you know, with all that that happened with prostitution and all that in our county. But then, you know, it's not everybody that does that. So we're trying to get them as, you know, as close as we can.
And I think maybe that was part of the motivations for running for local office, to run on Donegal County Council. Because, you know, I know there are councillors and there are institutions that are doing an awful lot. But I think your voice at the council chamber may have made a lot of the people that you represent, you know, feel more integrated. We could have perhaps quickened up the process of improving relations, do you think?
That's very true anyway. I went there as a voice for the people anyway. Most of them feel they're not heard. Okay. And for them to see my face in there, they would have probably thought, look, we're going in the right direction. And my reason, as I said, for standing was purely on those basis, you know, and unemployment is just gotten out of hand anyway. Very few people from a minority ethnics actually, you know, do get those good jobs. But saying that, you know, now we have now the naturalized Irish, okay, who can't even get a job in Letterkenny and have decided probably just go somewhere else.
Now, so, the reason I wanted to speak to you today about that as well is because on the Sean Doherty show yesterday, an issue was raised by Nicole about a Polish gentleman. Now, he put a simple post up looking for work. He's been in the country for 7-8 years. It was on a local social media site that allows people to exchange goods and what have you. And he put up a very simple message looking for work. And to say that he received a barrage of abuse from people after that would be an understatement. It was, why don't you go home? You know, referencing his nationality. Really, really quite shocking stuff. Some of which was mentioned yesterday and we don't really have to go over it again. And what I wanted to ask you is this the norm? Is this what people of that have come and decided to make their lives in Irish, consider themselves Irish, seek, you know, to even have the nationality as Irish, is there a lot of that ongoing? Not just Letterkenny, but across the county, do you think?
I think it is very ongoing anyway. Remember, most of us, like Africans, okay, we don't have any social, you know, welfare back home. Okay, so we are basically workers who will try and, you know, work to earn a living. But then we come here, okay, most of us probably get lazy because of the social welfare benefits. But at the same time, a lot of people that I know and people that we've spoken to will tell you that they would rather work than go on, you know, on the line, on the door.
So is there a sense then within the various communities that if you apply for a job, maybe you're instantly ruled out because of your skin color or because of your accent or because of where you're from?
Your accent will play a big part anyway. Some of us, probably even the surnames, you know, do play a big part. But then, you know, what, you have to go prove yourself. You have to really go prove yourself. Remember, some of the jobs that we actually looking for, okay, most of them are looking for cleaners and all that. Those jobs were free in 2007 because none of the settled Irish wanted those jobs. Because jobs were there. But now, those are jobs that everybody is fighting for. So because of that, you know, there's a fight in between the two.
In other words, in 2007, it was perfectly fine. If you're still the same person now, it's like, why don't you go home and get a job? What are you doing here? Whereas
exactly.
a lot of people, this is their home. You know, this is where their children are schooled. They started in baby infants, and they're probably going into secondary level school. This is their home. Oh. And it must be very frustrating to still face that level of discrimination. It's the only word for it.
Look, I'll take myself as an example. When we got here, my son was 2-3 years old. Okay, now he's more integrated within our society. He's a big football, you know, player down in town. But saying that, Greg, okay, he doesn't call home home. He calls this his home.
This is his home, yeah.
Okay, because everything about him is now Irish. Okay, he can't even speak my native, you know, language because he calls himself Irish.
Can you understand each other?
No, not really. Not really. He just dismisses. He dismisses me all the time. Anyway, he dismisses.
So I mean, getting back to the serious aspect of it again. Then, so discrimination, racism, is it rife? Is it a major problem? Like, is this something that we're going to have to crack our heads together and say, look? Both from people that have moved here recently and then people that have lived here all of their lives, adults is what I'm talking about. Do we have to meet this head on? There is a problem
and
we need to talk about it. Is that fair to say?
It is very fair. It is very fair. Look, and saying that, we live in a, you know, in a border county anyway. And when you look at the best of two worlds, you know, as across the road, you know, as from here, you know, you see it more and more. Okay, people here can say, no, there's no racism and all that. Mm-hmm. It's there. Mm-hmm. Okay, I had welcomed the idea that Donegal County Council put up, you know, with regards to Portnafortra being there. Okay, there was a racist incident reporting scheme which was there, but then now I tell you it's flat on its face.
Really?
Because, yeah, one, the funding, I don't even know why they didn't continue it because nobody can stop racism in the world. Okay, you can control it to some extent, but then once the project is forgotten and all that, racism will still come back, and now you can see it.
Does racism manifest itself? Is it seen even on the streets? Words, you know, we've talked about discrimination maybe in the workplace, but like, are people still calling each other's names? And
A lot. I mean, people do call each other, you know, bad names.
Yeah.
Okay. And to be fair enough, you know, I've got a lot of Irish friends who just don't like any of that. Mm. Okay. So I can't say it's, you know, probably the Irish or, but it could be, you know, probably just ourselves. Racism is within ourselves. Okay. As a black community, there's more racism within ourselves than probably it is between white and a black folk. Mm.
Is enough being done then by, you know, like there can be segregation there, and that can be self-imposed segregation as well. Then is there enough being done by the new communities to integrate themselves?
No.
So it's a problem on both sides.
It's a problem on both sides. That's what I'm saying. Okay, that's why I am in the community, you know, just to try and create awareness with regards to such things. But then, you know, at the same time, if people just don't want to integrate and then they want to sit at home, you know, there's nothing much, you know, or more you can do anyway. So it's on both sides.
So to address this in the short term, then, you believe the council needs to reinvigorate this reporting system so that people think that, you know, I've been subject to something here. The local authority, my first line of democracy, is there to support me and will listen to what I have to say.
And yes. I've decided, look, at least I stood in the local elections. I know most of the people that are there. Okay, I am trying to go and get back to them and say, listen, this is what we promised the people during the election. Okay, what can we do now as electors? Now we're inside now, what can we do? Okay, so I'm going to take that as a challenge to them and then we see where we can go. But then there needs to be something coming in from the council itself before, you know, the wider society can do anything.
Okay. Listen, Billy Bander, we appreciate you coming up. It's very interesting. I hope to get you in again when we have more time and see how that's progressing. Stay on top of it, you know.
Listen, Greg, I've got more time. Just call me anytime.
Excellent. Well, we will indeed. Look, and you haven't ruled out running in the next local elections,
No, I haven't.
Yeah.
No, I haven't.
And do you get are you getting support from, I don't know how the terminology, I don't want to say your community, because the whole idea of this conversation is trying for us to all to integrate, but those people that feel they're not represented, did they come out and vote? Are you getting support from them to say, you know, next time, Billy, we will come out in numbers? Because that's important too. They have to, people have to engage in the democratic process as well, don't they?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's what I've been trying to tell, you know, the people from my community. Okay, what happened in this election is gone. Okay, let's build on to the next one because we won't dwell on the past now. Okay, there's people that are already in. So if we build on from now, okay, into the next election, probably, you know, we'll get somewhere.
Okay, yeah. That's one of the quickest 15 minutes I've had on radio. Billy Bander, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you very much, Greg.
6 minutes to 12 now. Coming up after the 12 o'clock news, it's P.O. McCann, who's not in studio. P.O., where are you?
I'm actually in Dunluce, down here at Rotary's Axel in Dunluce, and in conjunction with the Dunluce Festival. The theme of this year's festival is celebrating 30 years of the Donegal Mountain Rescue Team. And what a lineup here, bouncing castle, children's face painting, giveaways, and much more. And we're going to be talking to Henry O'Donnell, too, from Managua. He's climbing Mount Eric. Just imagine this, Greg. You and me could take a lead. This is the 1,000th time he's climbing Mount Eric today. Isn't that unbelievable?
How many times have you done it, P.O.?
I couldn't even look up at it and never mind claim it.
No, you so this new slim down P.O. McCann. I'm sure you'd go up no bother.
No, not another chance. Greg, me and you wasn't built for that, you see. You know.
No, we don't have the constitution for it. But no, 1,000 times. Don't. Well, that's going to be very interesting.
My God, I'm even tired saying that. And Patsy Dan Rogers, King of Tory, he'll be there at the bottom to provide the music for everybody when they come down. So no better scene. This is the place to be if you're just in County Donegal today, down here in Dunluce. Here in Rotary and all the staff are really going out of their way to make everybody feel at home, very much at home here. And loads of stuff to eat and drink here. Seamus McGarrigan's sitting here with a big smile from ear to ear on him. He's like a Cheshire cat here at the minister here.
That's pretty much what Seamus is, isn't it? A smiling Cheshire cat. Listen, they'll look after you. Brilliant music too coming up on the show as well. Of course, as always, P.O. We'll speak to you about 12:05. Thanks for coming on.
Gentlemen.
Bye. P.O. there. Now, Vincent joins us on the program now. Martin is joins us on the program now. Martin, a very good morning to you.
Good morning.
We are a little bit tight on time, but I just wanted to tell us, give you a chance to tell us this story. What happened?
Right. Well, I was wondering if anybody else had the same experience. My niece went and did her theory test for her driving license and passed with flying colours.
17 years of age.
17.
Mm-hmm.
And went to the office to get her provisional driving license and found that she couldn't.
Why not?
Because she didn't have a utility bill.
But how's a 17-year-old going to have an electricity bill? Or, I mean, I presume she's living at home.
Well, they would have accepted a bank statement as well.
Right.
But, of course, at 17, she has no way of earning money. She's a student, so she doesn't have a bank account.
So, has she managed to get the licence since then, Mark?
No, she did not. And the... Now, I have to say that the girls she was dealing with in the office were sympathetic, but couldn't issue her with a driving license because she had no... She had her passport with her. She had her PPS number. She had all sort of relevant documentation that she would have up to date.
So effectively, it's the proof of residence is the stumbling block here. And would they not accept anything from social welfare, from her college, or...?
Well, they asked us to check with social welfare, but when we contacted social welfare, they said, no, they don't do that.
Shocking stuff. Look, we don't have much more time, Martin, but we've put it out there. We'll follow it up and make a few phone calls ourselves, maybe check in with you next week to see if any of our listeners have any advice and what have you. But 17 years of age, she can't get proof of address. She's trying to comply with the law. New laws come out yesterday on this, and she can't do so because she can't get the info.
Correct.
Oh, you wonder, Martin, don't you?
Thank you very much.
Thanks so much indeed. Okay, that's all the time we have for on the weekend edition for this week. It'll be up online, available for you to listen back if you missed the start of it very shortly at highlandradio.com. Thank you to each and every one of you who contacted the programme, also to all of our guests who came into studio, and to Yvonne McFadden, who produced the programme. Again, Peel McCann on his way up after the news at 12 with Rebecca. Chat to you soon.